What's up, y'all? Welcome to On Par with Christ, a new podcast that me and my brother Heath here decided we were going to start. Just kind of give you a little bit of what we are and what we're about. So this podcast is obviously going to be focused on golf because that's the par part of it, obviously. We're going to bring you major stories, and then we're going to bring you some stories you probably don't know about, and maybe throw in a little bit of personal stories in there too, because everybody needs a good laugh. And then, obviously the Christ part of it is, we're both very, we're both devout Christians. We love God, and we want to portray that out to the people that this may reach and see who we can impact, not only talking and playing and going through the game of golf, but also through the game of life as well.
Well spoken, well spoken. So I figured we'd kick off with a little bit of an introduction of ourselves this morning there, and basically kind of tell you about where we stand with our golf game, but then also a little bit about our relationship with Christ. So for me to kick it off, just to give you my testimony, my background, I was raised in church, and blessed to have a family that put God first. And so I came to faith at an early age. And just from there, I've been able to grow in my faith, marry a godly woman, and God has blessed us with some amazing children. And just through the years, God has opened the door for me to even start working my way into ministry. And that's my next steps in life. But as far as my golf game goes, I'm probably around a 12 handicap, somewhere in there.
Depends on what clubs you're using, you know. You switch clubs every week, so you know.
I change clubs out probably way too often than I should, but I've been playing golf for probably going on around 20 years now. Started when I was 13, took a little break a few years here and there, and I've really gotten back into it. And that's something that Gary and I are able to enjoy very thoroughly and have fun doing.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, like Keith, at an early age, I came to faith. Had a family that, always stayed in church. Grew up in church. Obviously, when I got to my, my high teens, my low 20s, you kind of think that you kind of know it all and that you really don't need anybody, and so you kind of stray away, from what you grew up. Or what you were always preached and taught, but very quickly I learned that I can't do it myself, and I can't do it without him. And so now, now today I've been back on track for a while now, and getting my family involved in it, and as my kids are growing up, getting them involved in it just like I was. That's always going to be a top priority for sure. As far as the golf game goes, I'm probably legitimately, if I play enough, I'm probably around a 15 handicap. But
I hear
now I'm
that.
playing, probably around 20.
I think you're better than you give yourself credit for.
Well, I appreciate that. I feel like my swing is good. I just don't score well sometimes. But hey, you could help us to where I can play golf more. So it's always a reminder out there. Let's make hashtag make Garrett good again by letting him play more, by giving me more time to play. But no, I think it's I'm excited, man. This is obviously I should have mentioned this in the intro. This is our first episode. So I'm excited to dive in. What you got for us on the first topic?
Well, we just had the PGA Championship, and I think before we even dive into the events or the finish of the PGA
Got to talk about the
Championship,
elephant in the room.
we have to talk about Scotty.
Got to.
What in the world happened?
I get rained out of work, and I'm coming in, and I come and I sit down and make my cup of coffee, and I sit down and I turn it on. I'm like, oh yeah, tournament's gonna be on. I'm gonna get to watch it all day. Super pumped. Turn on the TV, and they're in a rain delay. and they're talking, and the announcers are talking. All of a sudden, they say somebody went to jail, and I don't, and they hadn't, and I missed. I didn't turn it on in time to hear who they were talking about. Well, it didn't take them but about 5 minutes to talk about it. And they were like, "Oh yeah, Scotty Scheffler's supposed to be getting out of jail and making it back in time for his tee time." And I was like, "Scotty Scheffler, like out of everybody on tour, Scotty's the last one I would ever imagine, absolutely, to get arrested." So that's when I texted you and I was like, "Hey man, did you see this?" And then we were on it from there on out. But, you know, for the people that don't know, we'll explain what happened. So basically Friday morning, there was a tragic accident where they have buses that would take spectators and workers and stuff to and from the course from their hotels. And it was raining, it was dark, it was really early in the morning. It was about 4:30, I think, when this happened. They said the bus struck and killed a pedestrian who ended up being a volunteer for the tournament. So obviously our hearts go out to his family. But with that happening, created absolute chaos. And so they stopped letting fans come in. They're only allowing players to walk in. And Scotty was stuck in the middle of this. And he got told by cop number one, get out of line, go around, enter into the course, go about your day. So Scotty got out of line and was going into, and he got stopped by another cop that he did not know was a cop. He thought it was maybe an event staffer or somebody trying to help direct traffic. He did not recognize them as a police officer. So he kept trying to go by. That cop decided to take it upon himself to latch on to Scotty's door and quote unquote get drug. I don't believe that. I don't think he got drug. I think he may have grabbed the door and Scotty kept going, and so he got his feelings hurt. But then he proceeded to arrest Scotty. And you know, there's some big charges there. I mean, you've got felony. You got a felony of
felony and three misdemeanors.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not like it was just, you know, something that was simple. So they took him to jail. I liked his press conference afterwards, and he was talking about stuff that he had to do, and he was talking about how he could see a little bit of the TV and see ESPN and realize that he got pushed back, and so he started stretching in the jail cell and stuff. I mean, that's just Vinny Scotty, just always trying to be ready for the moment.
Yeah.
But you know, him being arrested, I really thought was going to throw his game off on Friday, but his game got thrown off on Saturday.
Yep.
But before we dive into his play, is there anything you want to add about the events that happened, about the arrest, about what led up to it?
I think you covered what really led up to it, and, you know, whether where the truth is and what the, you know, police officer stated. Well, you know, we should find that out here soon. They did push the arraignment back to June. So I guess there are more details to come on it. Not sure what exactly that means.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I figured they'd kind of want to get to it and get done with it and then either focus on a court case or get it dropped. I mean, his attorney feels very confident that nothing's going to come of it. It's either going to A, get dropped, or B, they're going to go to court. He's going to plead not guilty, may get a fine. That'll be about it. I mean, I don't think there's going to be any jail time with it. I don't think he's going to miss any time. But kind of threw me off. That they wanted to push all that back a whole another month when you've got the U.S. Open coming up next month. Like, I'd be trying to get this behind me so that way I could focus on. I mean, he's got a newborn, literally born on May 8th. I mean, he's got all this stuff going on. Like, let's take something that we know we can get behind us and let's hurry up and push it behind us, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why they get paid the big bucks, and that's why they're lawyers, and I'm not. So, you know, there's obviously something that they know that we don't. Yeah. And like you said, there may be more defined details, or maybe the attorney was like, hey, you give me another month, and I'll make this whole thing go away in a you know, drop a hat. Or it may be, hey, I'm going to push it back a month, and from now on a month, we're just going to drop the charges, and you ain't got to go back, period.
One other thing I think that I found pretty interesting was how quickly his mugshot was released to the public.
Oh, man, that's what made me more upset on Friday watching the coverage. Before he was even out of jail, they were plastering his mugshot all over like he had done something so horrible, so terrible, so bad. And then you find out the story of it, you know, and the announcers didn't help. So I don't know how many people watched the coverage on Friday morning, but when I was watching, they bring his mugshot on the screen, and then the two announcers were actually walking in to the course when all this was happening. So they got a front row seat of just the arrest, though, like of just him pulling in. So they had no idea about him talking to another officer. They had no idea about anything. So they gave what they thought was for sure had happened, which made it sound a lot worse on Scotty's end than what it really ended up being. So, you know, I was kind of upset about that because Scotty's not one of those guys. Like, he's just as down to earth possible as a professional athlete can be. So to kind of try to tarnish his image or tarnish his name was, I just thought was kind of a low blow for really no reason. But he gets there, you know, he gets there about 40 minutes till tee time, comes out, he's all smiles. Obviously he's still in shock. Comes in, goes to the clubhouse, gets changed, comes outside, skips the putting green altogether, goes straight to the driving range, and then just starts lacing six irons. And it's just like, Scotty's here. You know, he starts out the round, then starts off the round with a birdie. And it's just like, you can't stop this guy. This dude is a maniac. You know, I call him a robot. It's like playing a video game. You know, he goes in, has a decent day. I mean, what was it? He was sitting third. He was sitting solo third, wasn't he? Or tied for third? He was at 9 under?
Maybe. And he may have been in second by the end of the second round. So he was up there.
I mean, he was up on the leaderboard, had potential, needed a big third day. But there was one variable that was missing off of Saturday, and that's Ted Scott.
That's right.
You know, obviously he had, you know, and they already had this predetermined beforehand. Ted looked at the schedule. Ted knew his daughter was going to graduate, and he said, "Hey, Scotty, you know, during the PGA Saturday, I got to go." Scotty told him, "Family first. That's what I told you from day one."
Yep.
So you know, Scotty let him go. Scotty was okay with him going. And he just, I mean, I don't. It's been a long time since I've seen Scotty play a round that bad.
41 rounds since he's played over par.
Yeah.
He had the longest streak.
And
I forget how many years, but since like the 80s.
I mean, that's insane. And then he just never could recover from that. Needed to come out and have a record-breaking Sunday to even have a chance. But went back to vintage Scotty on the back nine. I mean, the back nine of the final round, he played just as good as anybody. So, you know, I don't think that little mishap is here to stay from what I saw.
No.
I mean, he's dialing up this weekend for the Charles Schwab. So it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back.
I'm pretty sure that he's the favorite for it right now.
I think he's going to be the favorite of every tournament from here on out. until somebody else decides that they want to get on a run.
As long as he doesn't go to jail and as long as he has Ted Scott.
Hey, that's right. And as long as he keeps winning me free golf rounds from Masters win, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, we do owe Scotty a big thank you. We were able to win the Purcell Farms Masters pick tournament, and we got us a free round coming up at
Farm
Links.
We do. We got a
fun little side note there.
We got to pencil that thing in. Yep. So another story, and that I want to talk about. Is this on the other side of the coin, Tiger? So the question shall remain this: should Tiger retire?
That's the question I've been pondering since he got cut, and really just to watch him how he struggled in the Masters. It's one of those things where you don't want to see him go away, but you don't want to see him throw away a fantastic career. I don't think he would ever just throw it away, and it would, you know, but he is tarnishing it, I feel like, at this point.
Yeah, I hate to agree with you, but I have to agree with you because it's true. You know, the Masters, I didn't really think too much about the Masters just because the way his body is and so banged up. He made a cut. He played well enough for 2 days. Day three and day four, you know, when you've got as much metal in his body as you do, just it's going to give out at some point.
Yeah.
But just the horrible display of golf he played this past weekend, just that kind of did it for me. You know, I always cheered for him. I always wanted him to do well since he came back. I think his comeback story is incredible. But I think now he needs to focus. He needs to take his focus and do what he talks about doing. I think he needs to switch his focus to Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Once a year, playing the PNC, you know, tournament with him. There's a couple pro-ams or something he could get into and play. I don't think that would be a bad thing. But as far as playing competitive golf, when he's literally saying every year that I'm only going to play in majors, which are the hardest tournaments for a reason, playing on the toughest courses. You know, I think he needs to really consider on hanging that hat up, and he needs to be putting in, instead of him putting in work to better his game, I would like to see him take that and put that into Charlie's game. Because I see a lot of Tiger and Charlie. And one thing that Charlie has that Tiger Woods didn't was Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're going to learn, you might as well learn from the best.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's my opinion on it. I'm sure he'll play, and then he'll probably make it through this year, and then he'll probably reconsider at the end of the year just because he's told people he's going to play. And Tiger seems like he's the type that if he can, he will. He ain't just going to back out and say, "Oh, well, I had a bad tournament, so I'm done for the year."
Yeah.
So I think he'll play his three tournaments left for the year. Third being
he does well at the Open, so I think he wants his shot at the Open.
Yeah.
I think the Masters and the Open are probably his two better tournaments out of the four majors, and I think he probably wants that shot at the Open before he does make any kind of a decision. But I will say this, part of me wishes he would have kind of hung it up at St. Andrews and just said, you know, farewell there at the 150th Open, just kind of an iconic. Yeah,
that was iconic when him going over the bridge.
Yep.
Which we all kind of figured that'd be the last tournament at St. Andrews.
Yeah.
For him, but yeah, I agree that was a special moment, and would have ended on a very high note. But now since then, he's gonna, you know, there's people who have mixed feelings. I mean, you've got new golfers. I mean, golf is exploding these last 2 years. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's gone from a rich man game to now you've got all these YouTubers and all these people that are exposing everybody to golf, and it's a great and wonderful thing. Everybody's mm-hmm. trying to play. I mean, now people realize that, hey, I can play in gym shorts and a t-shirt versus I can play in khaki pants and a button down. You know, it just, everybody just kind of, yeah, kind of like what you got on, you know? But it's everybody's game, and that's what everybody's starting to realize. And everybody's starting to realize, hey, I can go out and have fun. I can go out and get a group of my friends. We can go have fun.
Mm-hmm.
So all the new people coming to golf, they're like, oh, yeah, I heard about Tiger, but I see Tiger. Tiger ain't nothing.
Yeah.
And it kind of like you said, it's kind of tarnishing that legacy and then in the fantastic career that he's had. And I don't want to see it go any further. I would rather just kind of be cut off. He's not going to win a major. I will put whatever you want me to put on it. He's not going to win another major.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
There are way too many talented golfers out there.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe, you know, could they have competed with him in his prime? Probably not. Nobody could. I mean, nobody could touch Tiger in his prime. So right now, Scotty's the only one that didn't have a shot at it. But right now, he's got, I mean, 400 other people, according to the world rankings, that are better than him.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Even the folks on LIV who have not even gotten points in
yeah.
how many ever rounds now.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, to add to that with Tiger, I think that he's no longer moving the needle. you know, just as you said, those new people who are coming into golf, they're not looking at him and seeing him as the great that he once was. So I think he still moves the needle because, I mean, you watch any footage, anything on TV, and they're showing him every other shot. So,
oh, yeah.
So they still stay focused on him. So he's still doing something. But I think they, you know, the crowds are steadily getting smaller around him, and he's not pushing like he was before.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, at the end of the day, it's Tiger. So when you get the opportunity to see Tiger play, even if he shoots 8 over, you still want to have that opportunity to see him.
Oh, I'd be there.
Oh, absolutely. That's the great thing about his game now is you can catch his round, and then you can go catch the last group teeing off on one and catch their whole round there, you know. he's giving us the best of both worlds now. But, you know, I mean, all jokes aside, you know, he had a great career, and just to see somebody out there playing, I mean, he's going to follow. But, yeah, he's not jumping the needle. People aren't tuning into the Masters. They're tuning in to watch him, but they're not tuning in because they think he's going to win.
Yeah.
They're putting money on Scheffler. They're putting money on McIlroy. They're putting money on Spieth. They're putting money on...
I wouldn't pick McIlroy at the Masters.
Oh, absolutely not. He's got a monkey on his back. He can't get over it.
By the way, the PGA Championship marked 10 years since he won his last major. Last one was PGA Championship in 2014. So Rory has officially reached 10 years.
Dang, he's getting old. But I do
same
want
age
to,
as me.
But I do want to give a shout out to JT.
Yeah.
Justin Thomas. He was my favorite golfer for a long time. Last year, I just kind of done with him. just played really poorly. Started out the year, started playing good, missed the cut at the Masters. But came out and played really, really well this week. I mean, top 10. I mean, you know, anytime you get a top 10, it's always a big deal.
He was back in good form. It was good to see him there.
Absolutely. So I'm hoping that's something that he can build upon and get there. But, you know, without further ado, we got to give big props to the first major win of his career. This guy that I was telling you the other day, I think he was the best golfer on tour that had not had a major win yet. And that is Xander Schauffele.
Congrats to him. Absolute. I mean, he was dominant for the majority of the tournament. And really, he held his own. You just have to give props to DeChambeau for coming out strong like he did and just really getting after it. But
Victor Hovland, too, man.
But the clutch putt on 18 to win it, I mean, you think you could make a 5 or 6 foot putt for your first major, 3 point, $3 million or whatever it was?
Not as much break as that putt had. I mean, that it wasn't like it was a straight shot. That putt had some lean to it.
But he played it straight. He said that. He played it straight, and it fell on the left side. And
they about rolled
it. It was close to lipping out.
It about lipped out. When he hit it, I was like, oh, that's in. And then it started lipping out, and I was like, no way. They're fixing to go to a playoff and drop back in. And I was like, my man. I wouldn't have been mad if Bryson won, though, man. I mean, he played about as good a good final round for a major as you could play. I mean, now, I don't know if you saw the shot.
Which one?
He drives and goes into the trees and randomly ends up back in the middle of the fairway.
I'm not sure if I caught that one.
So they're saying that it went up, got lost up in the trees, hit a branch, and then the tree threw it out. Mind you, it got thrown out in the middle of the fairway. and it's covered. So even if the ball drops, I'm not saying that anybody threw it out there. I'm not saying anybody didn't. I'm just saying it looks very fishy on how the ball just circled into the trees, and then all of a sudden it just ends up out in the middle of the fairway. You need to look that one up.
I need to look that one up. I did miss that one.
Yeah, you have to tell me what you think about that one, because that was at a pivotal moment too. It was like hole 15, 16. I mean, it was a pivotal. It ended up making birdie on the hole. It was insane. And if he did hit a tree and it bounced back in, then he might be picking up the second half of this broadcast, because he's living right, is all I can tell you, because that was some very, very good luck on his side. But you know, Xander, I mean, my man shoots a 62
They won.
day one, setting the tone early. Friday, still though, Friday, it's not like he went and shot one under. I mean, he still shot three under, four under on Friday. He didn't have as good a third round as everybody else around him was. There's a lot of other people. There's a lot of big numbers. A lot of, I mean, well, I guess small numbers, but there was a lot of movement on the leaderboard on Saturday. And he really didn't take advantage. I thought the course, that was the easiest day the course played was Saturday. It was the driest.
Oh no, ask Scotty about that.
He didn't have Ted Scott, man.
Yeah.
That's like Batman without Robin,
Yeah.
you know? But you know, I mean, come on, Shane Lowry shot a 62
Hey.
on Saturday.
I forget how what the footage was on the putts, but he made so many clutch putts. That was absolutely
Oh
incredible to
yeah,
watch.
he started out the round making bombs. Like his first birdie putt was like 30 something foot.
Yeah, he was.
And he was just rolling it, man. He felt good. And it was good to see him play like that. I'm a big Shane Lowry guy. I think he's a fun guy to watch on tour. He has fun with it. He don't take it, you know, obviously they take it serious to an extent, but
Well, he's Irish, so he's gonna be fiery on the course, so.
well yeah. Then he's gonna go to the pub afterwards and have a little more fun. But you know, just it was a good weekend. Just the tournament as a whole. I think from start to finish, obviously you had the drama that, you know, Scotty getting arrested and all that, like we had talked about earlier. But you know, just from the golf portion of it, man, it was a packed leaderboard.
That was
Nobody,
awesome.
yeah, I mean, literally go down to the last putt. That's what you beg for in a major. You know, you don't want somebody being, you know, eight, nine, 10 shots ahead going into the last hole, because then everybody turns it off and nobody's in the golf. I'm gonna, you know, me and you're gonna watch it till the end.
Yep.
But you know, to keep the other people that are kind of on the fence about golf, that keeps them locked in for the whole tournament. And I think that's a, I mean, no, that was just an awesome tournament.
So I've got a question for you.
Okay.
A lot of people have complained and said that they think that with this being a major tournament, that the scores are just way too low. What are your thoughts on that, seeing 21 under winning a major tournament?
You know, during watching it, I was thinking to myself, I was like, these scores are low for a major. But at the same time, I mean, it wasn't like I thought the Masters, like I would just compare it to the Masters. That's the only other major for the year so far. There wasn't really any great golf played. Everybody kind of seen, and I know that has to deal with the Masters and the course. I mean, the course is just that hard, but like even when Scotty won, he won by what, 5 strokes, 4 strokes?
Somewhere in there, he
And
cruised in.
yeah, cruised in and didn't play that well. Didn't play well all 4 days. And nobody really seemed to really play well. I mean, Max Homa played, he probably played the best overall golf for the weekend. But like he didn't, but like nobody really played like a full game of golf. This past weekend, I mean, the top 20 was playing golf, you know. I mean, so it's hard to justify that. So I mean, I kind of thought that to myself. I was like, man, 20 under for a major, that's steep. I don't think this course is major potential.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously it's iconic and it's been a, and you know, and it's been there before. But I just think it just that's just how good they were playing golf,
Yeah.
you know, the
Yeah.
more and more I think about
I
it.
think the wet conditions helped too, where they in that type of grass, they talked about that zoysia and being able to place the ball pretty much wherever they wanted on the greens. And of course we saw it dry out a little bit by the last day, but I mean it was really wet, and when they get those conditions, I mean a pro is going to show out and just they're
Absolutely.
going to play their game
Yeah.
exactly like they want
Yeah. I
to.
mean, I you know, I just the more and more I think about it, you know, my first knee-jerk reaction was like, yeah, this is major golf. And then the more and more I thought about it, I'm like, bro, that's no, you couldn't ask for anything better for a major. In my opinion, I mean, it's just, I mean, you have 20 under, 19 under, 18 under all right there in the last two groups.
Yeah.
Like Morikawa could not make a birdie to save.
Birdie on number 18.
On number 18. And he played great golf all weekend. But, you know, I think that helped Xander a little bit. I think him, his playing partner, not being able to make those putts while he's making those putts, I think that kind of boosts your confidence a little bit. I think it kind of boosts your morale, and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to dust this guy, and I just got to worry about these two goons in front of me, and there's nothing I can do about that. And that's what that's what I love about golf, is that it doesn't matter what you do. I'm playing you. I can't control what you do. I can't control your swing. I can't control if you make a 50-foot bomb.
You try to mess with me mentally, though.
A little bit. I got to. But, like, all I can do is tell you, great putt.
Yep.
I got to go out there, and I got to make a 50-foot putt, you know. And that's just what I love about golf, is it is just basically you on an island.
Mm-hmm.
It's you and that course.
Oh, yeah.
Can you beat the course? Me, personally, no. I cannot beat any course. I can't even beat a putt-putt course. Yeah, I always get a snowman somewhere.
Yep, yep. But it's going to show its face.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but overall, man, it was a great tournament. Looking forward to the tournament this weekend. Still got some big names in the tournament this weekend. PGA is doing it right. They're, you know, normally the week before a major and the week after a major is dead. It's just kind of all the little guys that, you know, wasn't able to play in the major, maybe a couple guys that missed the cut. But it's never, you know, packed. And you had Wells Fargo, PGA Championship, now you got Charles Schwab, which is, you know, invitation only.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they're scheduling these things and just the way they did at the Masters, you know, they had the Masters and then boom, turn around, they have RBC Heritage. I mean, I think they're doing it for the fans. Obviously, they're doing it for viewership reasons, and there's, you know, a business behind it. But, you know, ultimately, us as fans, we get to enjoy it. We get to enjoy weeks of good golf instead of good golf every now and then. And then we, you know, hey, if we want to watch golf, we can. But, you know, there's really, you know.
Yeah, these elevated events where they're, you know, making all the top players come out and play, I think it's good to see that, where, like you said, it's multiple weeks of good golf as opposed to that here and there. And I agree. It makes it fun. It just makes it more enjoyable.
Now let me ask you a question.
All right.
Based on that, elevated events being placed where they're at, do you think that is strategically done on purpose to combat LIV?
Probably to an extent. I mean, they have a credible competitor now because they've pulled so many good golfers. I mean, I'm a huge Bryson DeChambeau fan. Like, I liked him when a lot of people weren't liking him at all. And just to see how strong he's coming on, now he has a YouTube presence. Like, he's just coming in at all angles.
Making his own iron.
And I mean, yeah, I mean, he plays the game differently, but he plays his game. And that's what I enjoy about him. And so I don't watch the LIV tournaments as much, but I do enjoy trying to catch what I can of them. And I mean, typically I'm going to try to catch him and Rahm, and I love Tyrrell Hatton. He's hilarious out there. And, you know, and so I think they have put together a quality product now, and the PGA knows they have to do something, and whether they eventually merge or not, you know, they've either got to compete or work together. So.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, and I don't really want to get into all the political debate of it and all that, but I do want to mention that what I think is, you know, something else that we, you know, it's kind of big news and we need to talk about. So obviously, you know, Rory filed for divorce. Mm. You know, and that doesn't take as much away as you get when the rumors that Liv offered him $1 billion to come play. Then he does this. He wins Wells Fargo. But the biggest thing is that last year, when all this LIV stuff started happening, who was the face of the PGA? It was Rory.
Mm-hmm.
He was the face. He was the guy. He was like, hey, I'm going to take this thing on head full of steam. I'm going to let everybody else play golf. Y'all let me worry about it. and it killed his game that year. He played probably had one of the worst years that he's had in a long time. You could tell on the course it was just, I mean, it was exhausting. And rightfully so. I mean, you're trying to take on a whole corporation against, you know, you got one corporation going against another corporation. You're the guy in the middle just taking the brunt from both sides. And then, you know, at the end of last season when basically PGA Tour said, hey, we're going to do a deal with LIV, and you could tell that bothered him. Like, that really bothered him, especially because they didn't talk to the players. They didn't tell anybody what was going on. And it was
they did
like,
them dirty.
Boom, out of the, you know, just boom, right out of the gate, nowhere, you know, just blindsided by it. But I say that to say that, you know, he got off that committee to focus on golf. And then he is one of the ones that is like, hey, we need to make a deal. We don't need to wait. We need to try to make a deal, which they do. At this point in time, PGA needs to make a deal.
Yep.
But now the leader of that committee is Patrick Cantlay. And so now Patrick Cantlay and Rory have this big beef going on because Rory wants to do it now and Patrick Cantlay doesn't want to do it. And so basically him, Tiger, and Spieth got up and basically voted Rory out and will not let Rory come back to be a part of the committee, which I found very fascinating because Rory and Tiger are like this.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we know a couple months ago that Tiger flew out to Saudi Arabia, sat down with the Prince head-to-head, sat down, and obviously there was nothing released from that, and Tiger said that he couldn't say anything, but there was something brewing. Kind of makes me think that Tiger kind of jumped the gun and kind of saying, all right, I think Tiger sees it too, of, hey, we've got to get some type of deal on paper here.
Yeah.
Because if not, they're going to bleed the PGA Tour dry. And I think every time they would. I mean, there are a lot of golfers out there who would rather play three rounds. There are a lot of golfers out there that would rather wear what you want to wear, basically, wear shorts, whatever. And you get to go play golf without the pressure of, I have to make a cut. I have to win to make a certain amount of money. You're getting paid. Like, it's just that simple. You get paid when you sign the contract. And so that takes the whole pressure away from playing golf. And you can just go play golf. And I think that's why, and I really think that's why a lot of these LIV guys play so well in these major tournaments now. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that helped Bryson. I think it helped Brooks last year. You know, it looks like it's doing the opposite to Rom than what it's doing to the other guys. But a lot of the LIV guys are doing really, really well in these majors because they're not out there for money. They're going to make their hundreds of millions of dollars regardless. Mm-hmm. Now they're just going out there and playing for themselves, playing their golf, as you stated, and just go out there and have fun and just have fun with it. And it's showing up on their scores on the course versus somebody who's like, man, I got to make the cut this week. Yep. You know, they don't have to make the cut. They just go out and play golf. And when you play golf worry-free and you're not worried about money and you're not worried about all the outside stuff and you're not worried about anything and you just go play golf and you're one of the best golfers in the world, absolutely, you're going to kill it.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're having the opposite effect on Rom, though.
Well, I was going to say, speaking on Rom, I think he's still trying to play the middle right now. I think he's trying to erase the line and help combine the two tours or something like that, because it seems like a lot of the statements he's made have just been kind of, you know, political from that standpoint of you just get the feeling like he's trying to bring that connection there. And
I have heard that it was rumored that one of the reasons why he joined was to do that. Try to join LIV and then try to get people on LIV, players and stuff, to try to get back to make it all one again, some way, somehow. And I think eventually, I don't know if it ever become one just because how much publicity that LIV is getting. But I think that there will be some type of deal made to where all these players will be playing a lot more together than just four times a year.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why the PGA wouldn't. I mean, I think the PGA should. I mean, they got more money over there than the PGA's got. I promise you that. I mean, they got a Prince and they got oil money.
Yep.
You ain't beating that.
No, a lot of deeper pockets.
You know, but yeah, I mean, Rom has stated that he doesn't like 3 days. He said he likes 72 holes. But you know, he can't make a cut, which is surprising. You know, he's one of the best golfers in the world. No matter whether he's getting points or not, he's still one of the best golfers in the world. And for him to be 0-2 this year is kind of shocking. You'd have told me that Tiger would make more cuts than Jon Rahm would in majors, you know.
Never would have expected that.
You know, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. And obviously, that'll be a revolving door that will probably be solved, you know, 5 years from now. It'll probably go back and forth, and there'll be little deals done, and then there'll be updates, and there'll be somebody did something wrong. And it'll be interesting to see, but it'll also be interesting to see is who's next. And that's the question. And I think I have that answer.
Who do you think it'll be?
And I think they've already swung and missed with him, but I think they'll go back to him. I think he can't say no for too much longer.
Who's that?
Victor Hovland.
Well, speaking of Hovland, he some news talking about the Charles Schwab. I saw today where he has withdrawn,
Really?
and I think it's awesome though because the guy who is replacing him is one of my favorite guys on tour, though he's kind of on the bottom. But Wesley Bryan has got his spot
Really?
in the Charles Schwab. So I'm a big fan of the Bryan brothers, and I love their content. So it's great to see him be able to step up and get into I mean, this is a much bigger tournament for him.
Oh yeah,
So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. That's just kind of my gut feeling of I think Victor's gonna be next. He's obviously one of the younger guys on tour, and he's, I mean, killing it.
as long as he sticks with the right coach.
Yeah.
He almost messed himself up
I
there.
never understand why golfers get away with caddies. They do really well together. Like JT and Bones separating just drives me up a wall. I don't know why. It's not my business. It's whatever they want to do. But man, it bugs me. And like when they get away from coaches, and it's like, oh man, I did so horrible without this coach. Now I got back with him, and I'm doing great. And it's like, why'd you leave in the first place? Like you were doing good. Like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But you know, and they're always trying new things, and I'm sure money has to do with it, and probably the coaches. You know, he won the FedEx Cup last year, and the coach is probably like, "Hey, I need more money." But you know, overall, I think he's gonna be next. So I'll be interested to see if I'm right.
If I were to guess one that would be next, I would still think it would be Rory. I still think they're trying to cut a deal with him, and that could be part of everything that's going on in his life right now. And I don't know if it would ever happen, but that's just kind of who I've been leaning towards, waiting to see the news break on him.
I was on the Rory train with you 100% until I found out that they signed a prenup before they got married. Because I was with that. I was like, man, you know what? He's divorcing. He knows it ain't going good. He sees the divorce happening anyway. He's gonna go ahead and do it now, and he's gonna get through these majors. And then at the end of the year, he's gonna say, all right, boom, next year I'm playing for them. I was 100% on board with that. Then I saw the prenup, and I was like, But at the same time, you still have the other things with Cantlay going on, and them kind of. You know, blackballing him out of the PGA, and you know, if they're going to do that and kind of keep him out of the business side of it, which is what he wants to be in, obviously, then he may strike up a deal. He may say, "Hey, that's fine. I'll go be the face of LIV." I mean, he's going to have a huge following wherever he goes. I mean, he's one of the fan favorites. He's one of everybody's favorites. So I'm not going to say that you're wrong, because I could see that happening too. But
I'm sure we can make our case for just about any of the guys, but
well, you got some homers though that ain't gonna leave for no matter what. Spieth ain't leaving.
JT's only gonna do what daddy's gonna do, and if Tiger don't go anywhere, then JT's gonna stay
Ain't
sit
no
right there.
doubt.
So
Ain't no doubt he wanted to make sure he gets invited to his house in Vero. So before you got anything else on the golf side of things?
no, that pretty well is cut. Covers what we had looked at and set up.
All right. Well, before we transition to the Christ portion of the podcast, I want to take a time to give a quick shout out to our sponsor that we have. So, if you're looking for baked goods, and I mean homegrown baked goods. Doesn't have all the nasty ingredients that you get in the store. 100% organic stuff. Be the best stuff you ever tasted. Trust me. I've had it once or twice. Anything from bread to banana pudding to cupcakes to cakes to pound cakes. I mean, you name it, she can do it. And that is the Perfect Bite. There's their Facebook page. So go on the Facebook page, click in the Perfect Bite, send her a message, let her know what you need. Prices are very affordable. She can get it out to you. And, you know, if we gotta ship it off and make something happen, we'll figure it out and make it happen. So y'all go out there and check out her page, give her a shout out, let her know that the On Par with Christ podcast sent you over there to take a look at her.
All right. So we ready to kind of draw this thing to a conclusion?
Let's rock and roll.
Well, one thing that we want to do differently from pretty much any other golf podcast is, you know, we're talking about being on par with Christ. And, you know, with this being our first podcast, I just wanted to give just a few minutes of a devotion, just talking about what it means or what we mean by being on par with Christ. So, you know, as we know, a golfer uses par to gauge how they've played a round of golf. You know, to put it in better terms, par is the standard by which a golfer judges his round. Par is the expected score. And so likewise, Christ is the standard by which man will be judged by God. So you may think, well, Christ was perfect and nobody on this earth is perfect. And so, you know, what can we do? And, you know, first of all, I want to say, yes, that is God's standard. God's standard is perfection. He is a perfect and holy God. And he expects perfection from us. But we can't be perfect. As Romans 3:23 states, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we have all fallen into sin, and we are eternally separated from God because of that. And you know, if we're sinners, then we do not meet the standard of God. So we're all sinners. So we know that we don't meet that standard. What are we supposed to do? So this is the beauty of what Christ has done for those who follow him. Romans 5:8 states, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When Christ came to this earth and died for us, he stepped in our place so that we face God on the day of judgment. God sees Jesus instead of us. He becomes that standard for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 states, for our sake, he made him to be sin. So God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin. Jesus was sinless. So that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. So it is through Christ that we are able to become righteous, that God sees righteousness in us. So we can reach this standard, or so the question becomes, can we reach this standard on our own? Absolutely not. It is only through placing our faith in Jesus Christ that one can be saved and meet God's standard. It is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that our sins are atoned for once and for all. To put it in easier terms, it is through Christ that we are made right with God. God has shown us his mercy and grace by providing us with a means to be reconciled before him through his son, Jesus. And we must only be ready and willing when he places that call in our lives. And so that's just something that I wanted to put out there that, you know, whose standard are you living according to today? Are you trying to live according to your own standard, to man's standard, to the world's standard? Are you living according to God's standard? And, you know, it's a tough question when we actually have to break that down and self-examine, you know, where we stand in life. And, you know, there's a lot of people who struggle to find happiness and fulfillment. And that's because the only happiness and fulfillment is found through Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Just want to jump in and say something. You know, I think that's a I think that's a difficult thing as a human. As I talked earlier in my testimony, you know, there was a time where I, you know, kind of got off the road, and that was kind of my thing. And I think that's a lot of things with humans is it's hard to look onto somebody for help, or it's hard to admit that you need help, or admit that I can't do this alone. All human beings have pride. All human beings want to be able to beat their chest at the end of the day and say, "Oh, I have everything I have because of me." When in reality, you don't. You don't own anything. Everybody is a manager. We are all managers. The house that you have, the car that you drive, your bank account, you are managing what God allowed you to have. Because you wouldn't have anything. You wouldn't have none of the materialistic stuff without God. And you really can't have eternal life without God.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's great stuff. That's awesome stuff. I think you explained very well what we're about. I think you explained the name. You know, at the end of the day, we're gonna say little jokes, we're gonna have fun, and we're gonna talk about golf. But at the end of the day, at this portion of it, you know, this is when we really want to get serious and really crack down and really get our point across.
Absolutely.
And I think you did a very good job of that.
Appreciate it. And you know, look forward to bringing more. We may dive deeper into certain passages in the future, or you know, if there's certain topics that get brought up either through you know social media or whatever, you know, we can address it accordingly. But you know, that's the plan, is we want to talk about golf, but we want to end it with the most important thing, and that's God, His Word, Scripture, just what He is feeding us, and to be spiritually fed.
I saw a video today that it was a preacher. He was preaching and he was talking about how to combat people, and people was like, "Oh, that's not, you know, that's not God, or that's not real, or that's not this, that's not that." And he was talking about the Bible, and he said the Bible's not a book. The Bible has 40 books, contain or 60 books,
66.
66. Okay, sorry. He said 40 something, I can't remember. He said the Bible has 66 books inside of them. But he said so I'm not telling you that this is the way, but I'm just telling you, you at least need to take a look at it. And then he was talking about how in scripture it talks about all the prophets before Jesus got here and all the stories they told him about how he's going to be crucified before crucifixion was even a capital punishment back then, and how he was going to be sold for 30 pieces of silver, and how just, I mean, everything down to a T. And it's like, you know, so when people tell you, it's like, "Oh, well, that's just people that saw what happened. They wrote it down in the book." And he's like, "No, that's a history book, a factual history book." He was like, "Just check it out." And so, like, everything he was saying was like getting closer, closer, closer. Then he finished it and he was like, "That is the word of God. Live by that. And you will get closer to him, and you will find him in ways than you could ever imagine." It was just cute. It was just a kind of quick little video that I'd seen that had some statistical stuff, and kind of makes you think, and kind of makes you like, I mean, it has some really good points. I mean, you don't look at the Bible as a history book, but it is.
You have 66 books written over 1500 years, and it all tells the same story, pointing to one man
Exactly. And then
from beginning to end.
you have about this much of the Bible. When that man shows up and says, "I am him." And then he goes and performs and does all the things that people way before him and way after him has said that he has done and was going to do. I mean, it's all a perfect plan. And for people to think that the earth's rotation is not designed by God, I mean, everything is designed by God. Every building made, God didn't make the building, but he made the brain of the person that made the building. So, you know, everything is a creation of him, man. And, you know, the game of golf is a creation of him. I mean, you know, that's one of the things I like about golf is you can go out and you can enjoy nature and you can enjoy
Creation.
God's creation.
That's right.
And have fun doing it. You know, maybe like, hey, like I said, we'll tell you again, y'all blow this up, I get to play more golf. So, you know, then I get to go enjoy God's creation a little bit more. On a course setting, of course. But, no, man, I think that's going to just about do it for this week.
I think that'll wrap us up.
I'm going to do a little quick thing, kind of get a rundown of our schedule so kind of people know.
Yeah.
So we record on Tuesdays, post on Wednesdays. We're going to be posting our first episode. It's going to be posted to
YouTube, Facebook, and we might do some clips on TikTok. We're trying to get on Apple Podcast.
Okay. Yep. Got to get on Apple Podcast. We're going to take this and we're going to, after we do what we got to do with video, we're going to send it off to Apple, try to get on their podcast app. So that'll be huge for us. So, you know, if you see us, feel free to comment. Let me know. Obviously, constructive criticism, guys. Constructive.
The internet can be brutal.
Yes.
Be nice. This is our first one.
Don't be a bully, because then I'm going to have to get out of character. No, I'm just kidding. But
we'll pray for Gary.
But no, seriously, guys. If you do watch this and you do support it, we just, you know, we appreciate it.
Absolutely.
If you watch and you don't support it, hey, I appreciate you watching. And if you look at it and like, hey, this ain't for me, then hey, we're still here. We'll be here for the future, for sure. So, you know, there will be doing different things, guys. It's gonna be different. There'll be different topics, and like I said, we're gonna have some personal stories to tell. We're gonna have some maybe some not so popular players we could talk about. Maybe some Corn Ferry Tour guys. Maybe some guys trying to come up through college. You know, we'll kind of do it. Maybe bring some guests in on here. You know, may do like a satellite thing and get some people from around to kind of come in and kind of give a different point of view, and just kind of talk it up and, you know, just kind of hang out with the boys for a little bit. So, you know, but do appreciate y'all, and I look forward to next week.
All right. Till next time.
Peace.